So how did you get involved in the CBS production Hawaii Five-0?
Well, my good friend Amy Osler, who works for CBS and runs their music department, hooked me up with Peter Lankoff, who is the executive producer and creator of the new version of Hawaii Five-0. And as they are approaching their 100th episode, Peter wanted an original song for his end montage. And we chatted about that, and he gave me some impressions of what he was looking for, and off I went. Went home and made a little demo, and that's basically what you hear November 7th.
So how did you prepare for the writing of that song? Did you watch the show? What was the process behind that?
Well, basically, I've seen the show, of course, and I familiarized myself with the pilot because the 100th episode is a take on the pilot. So, and we also chatted about what his vision was. He wanted a song that would reflect the bond that his characters, as Peter would say, his Ohana bond, the family bond his characters have built over the last 5 years. And we also chat a little bit about what would the song be, because the challenge at this specific project was, this is a song that people will hear for the first time as the episode airs. And in the past, usually when people use my songs in film and TV, they tend to be songs that people have heard 1,000 times and already have a emotional connection with. So as this is a song that people will be hearing as they see the montage for the first time, we wanted to have a song that had a very clear lyric. There was a lot of clarity in what the song was about. And also, I thought it should have a production that continued to build, that would continue to pull in the audience. Because 3 minutes in TV is a long time, especially for a song you never heard. So that was kind of our template, and luckily it was a song that came together pretty quickly, and they dug it from the beginning. And basically what you hear is mostly the drum of the original demo with live drums. So every once in a while the stars align, and this was one of those cases.
I mean, this is a song that kind of has to stand the test of time. People are going to be Netflixing the show, you know, a decade from now. How does that feel?
It's great. I mean, the neat thing about these TV shows and these film uses of mine is, like, The Blind Side, for instance. Chances was the end title of The Blind Side. And that film will be a generational song. And as kids grow up, they will watch that movie and they will hear a song of mine and find Five for Fighting. And that's a great thing about media these days. And that's one reason why a lot of us songwriters are excited about film and TV. You know, the music industry has changed so much. You're looking for impressions, trying to find your music heard in any platform. And a lot of bands can be launched from TV. So you never know what's going to happen. But for me, I was just happy to provide a moment for this landmark achievement for this series and these people who are great people. And I salute them for reaching 100 episodes. Not many people get it these days.
Speaking of which, you know, your music has been featured on live TV and films. You ever think about doing something with a video game?
Sure. I mean, video games is it's the new glory days, right? That's where all the money is. That's where all the action is. That's where all the sales are. It's no coincidence that you see some of the biggest superstar artists launching their songs through video games. Usually it's tends to be heavy metal or rock or urban rap, but as a video game fan and as a father who has a 14-year-old son who lives in his room addicted to video games like half the culture these days, it would be nice to delve into that arena. I'm not a big shooter guy. I tend to be more of a Civilization, Ages of Empire builder guy, but that could be fun. And as I said, it's a way to really get your music out, and it is exploding every year. It gets bigger and bigger, and the games get better and better. So I'd certainly like to jump in that.
All right, man. You're also a big hockey guy. How do you feel about the Kings' start to the season? Pretty hot.
Kings are awesome, man. I mean, we got the best goalie in the world. We got the best defenseman in the world. We got the best coach in the world. We got the best GM in the world. We've won 2 out of 3 cups. We've won 10 out of 11 playoff series. The run last year was epic. And I think if we stay healthy, it's hard to repeat in hockey. It's such a grind to win the cup, but I think we have a chance to be there again. So go Kings, go Kings. We'll hopefully I'll see you again in June and July.
Do you think the impact of Voinov not being in the lineup is going to hurt them long term?
You know, I certainly think, you know, not having going off one of your top defensemen hurts the team. On the other hand, I think it was appropriate what the NHL did and what the Kings did. I think in this day and age, certainly with what we've seen in the NFL and domestic violence, the days of waiting for the legal system to run its course are probably gone. And if you have cause to believe that something bad happened, I think you need to suspend that player, do your own investigation. Whatever happens on the legal side, make common sense decisions, because certainly those issues are bigger than any sport, and it's about time we finally got our hands on those, and hopefully Voinov will be cleared and be judged to have not done anything improper. But if he has been, and it's severe, as a Kings fan, I'm not one of those sports fans that basically suspends my moral judgment because the guy's on my team. If he never plays again for the Kings, so be it. But we'll let it play out and see what happens.
Does it kind of feel good to look at the Kings lineup and say so many other teams are kind of trying to do the same thing, having three lines that can score, but four lines that can bang the body? I mean, you look at the hit stats for the Kings, and it's kind of off the charts. Every line can score, and every line can bang.
Well, it's like any entertainment medium, right? Everybody's chasing the current hit. I remember when I came on the radio, the male singer-songwriter was dead. The piano was not on the radio. And luckily, we broke through with a song that was a male singer-songwriter at a piano, you know, trying to emulate his idols, Billy Joel and Elton John. And then within a few years, the piano and male singer-songwriters are all over the radio. And it's the same thing in sports. You know, if you have a business plan, a strategy that works like Dean Lombardi's put together, and you succeed, people are going to chase that. And I don't blame them. And luckily for Dean, he has a relatively young roster. You know, his challenge is now keeping the players under the salary cap, and we'll see what happens. But yeah, I think, look, you know, the Kings have done it the right way. It took 5 or 6 years, and I think in the past we were trying to patch things here and get the fading free agent. But no, it's no coincidence that everybody's trying to emulate the Kings. Why wouldn't you? They've won 10 out of 11 series, got two rings on their fingers.
So what's next for you?
For me, well, once we get through this Hawaii 5-0 thing, I've been enjoying playing symphony shows around the country, and we've added some quartet dates early January, February next year, where I'll be playing me and a piano in a quartet, and it allows me to pull some songs out of the Five for Fighting catalog that we usually don't do, and continue to mix it up and make it new and fresh and interesting, not only for me, but the audience. So I'll be doing that, and I'll be making music one way or another. You'll be hearing it, whether it's TV shows or singles or EPs or who knows. It's what I love to do, and at this point in my career, I kind of pick and choose, and I have the luxury of doing that. And hopefully folks like this Hawaii 5-0 song on November 7th, and we'll go from there.